You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show's Charles Schwartzel proves there is no place like home by cruising to victory at the Shwani Open in his native South Africa.
I have a very good feeling about this year, and that was even before this tournament. So everything has sort of fallen into place. I've worked really hard leading up to this, and it's just been feeling good. So everything's got some really good signs, so we're excited.
We'll hear more from Charles later in the show. In second was Denmark's Jeff Winter, who, despite finishing 8 shots behind Schwartzel, was overjoyed with his performance.
I played so solid today, man. I loved it all day. It was fantastic. So happy.
Another who enjoyed his home comforts was Anthony Michael, who battled against the course to claim a creditable third place.
It is a real grind out there. It's really, really mentally draining. Just stick to what you've been doing in the week and plug away.
All the news from Waterkloof to come. As the Race to Dubai once again heads to Asia, we also look ahead to Maybank Championship Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur. Plus, we'll find out if the new rules to combat slow play have already had a positive impact on the European Tour. Hello, I'm Robert Lee and I'm joined by Richard Boxall. Richard, let's concentrate on the Shwani Open. That's the most recent event that the European Tour has played. And in the end, it was a runaway victory for Charles Schwartzel.
Well, it was, wasn't it? It was an excellent weekend. I mean, you know, 66-63. I know the par of the course was a par 70. So there's a couple of longish sort of par fours on there, but it was an old style sort of golf course. One that Schwartzel said in his interview that he really enjoys playing. And you could see that from his play. He still had, even for him, he still had a couple of wide ones off the tees with some irons and also with some drivers. But in my eyes, really, I was watching a bit of it yesterday on the TV, sort of in and out of the kitchen, you know, Robert, you know how it goes. Every time I popped out for a cup of Rosie Lee and came back in, he'd gained another shot on the field. So to me, it was like a one-horse race, really.
So Charles Schwartzel on the first day shot one over par. You think, well, nothing much happening here. Anthony Michael, 64. So he's 7 in front of Charles Schwartzel. In the end, after the next 3 rounds, Charles Schwartzel makes up 17 shots on the man who finished third.
Well, yes. What did he finish
in 3 rounds?
Yeah, no. Well, and he shot 69 in the second round, which is one under. So 71-70 at the weekend for Anthony Michael. So you are actually only going to go one way. But there was nobody else in that field there, Rob. You know, Richard Stirney, Dean Burmester as well. They didn't really make ripping last rounds. I mean, Justin Waters missed a short putt on the last hole. He finished 5 under par with a round of 65. But other than that, nobody really, apart from Schwartzel, the eventual winner, made any massive moves. I mean, OK, the Dane, who finished second, 64, 6 under him, he was well back in the field. You know, he'd done that after a sort of a semi-lie-in on Sunday, and out he went and posted a low score. But nobody really threatened him. Nobody jumped out with Schwartzel. And, you know, Schwartzel's experience, I mean, he has won the Masters and umpteen other tournaments as well, Robert. So I think he's got 8 or maybe 9 wins now on the European Tour. I'm not quite sure.
8 wins in South Africa alone on the European Tour.
Has he?
Yeah. Obviously, in his career, being at home must mean a great deal to him.
Obviously,
it must turn things in his favour.
Yeah, but they also like the grass, Robert, and all that. You know what I mean? The grain and stuff like that. I mean, do you remember people the likes of Mark Johnson?
Yes, very much so.
Golfer from a long, long time back. Good player.
But Zimbabwean.
But he used to come over here. And, you know, I used to play a lot of golf with him. And he started looking in the hole, you know, when he's putting.
Looking for grain.
And I used to say, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking to see which way the grain goes. I said, you won't find any grain growing here at Walton Heath, trust me.
Well, yeah, I mean, they do say that South African guys can putt well on those grainy greens, but we have enough players now that play year in, year out in South Africa. I'm not sure it's such a massive advantage anymore.
Maybe not. You know, I think Andy Sullivan's probably proved that. A couple of wins in South Africa, maiden wins, obviously. His first win on the European Tour came in South Africa. But, you know, if I was a chap, Robert, that couldn't play on the European Tour yet, but I could play the Challenge Tour, I would play the Challenge Tour and I would also play the Sunshine Tour. I think it's an excellent tour.
Because
there's good competition. Secondly, for the lads that go down there, it's not massively expensive, with the round being 25 to the pound. And they live really nicely. And you've got brilliant conditions. Weather's always brilliant. OK, you get the storms come up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but then it lasts an hour and go away. I think it's a great... that's what I would do.
Very good, Richard. Thank you. Let's hear from Charles Schwartzel, who after a solid 3 days was glad everything clicked in his final round.
That's what I was hoping for the first 3 rounds. You know, the first 3 rounds gave myself so many chances and... If I had the stroke I had today, it would have been probably my best tournament ever. But, you know, we just worked hard the whole week on it, and from the word go, I made a few nice putts.
There were a couple that were more than nice, a couple of monsters on the homeward nine.
Yeah, you know, the first 3 days I was blind as a bat. Last day I was eagle eyes. It's nice to put everything together. You know, I've been playing, felt like I've been playing really, really well this week. I mean, it's just frustrating when you don't putt very well and don't convert. And to make the putts when it counts, that's even more satisfying.
What does this do for you going forward? You've been striking the ball particularly well, and now you've found the putting. You must feel very confident for the year ahead.
I have a very good feeling about this year, and that was even before this tournament. So everything has sort of fallen into place. I've worked really hard leading up to this, and it's just been feeling good. So everything's got some really good signs. So we're excited.
Your major win came on a course that you really have to think your way around. This course made you think a lot. Was it a great feeling to be able to win on that kind of course again?
It is. You know, I really like this sort of golf. I don't feel like, as you saw with the first 3 days, I didn't putt very well. It's not really a putting contest. There's a lot more to it than just hitting it out there and having to be the best putt of the week. You know, the golf course gives you a lot of options, and you got to play it the way you feel comfortable. Not everyone will be different, but it's my sort of golf, this.
Certainly is Charles' sort of golf. Many thanks to Mike Green for the interview. What about Charles then with the, you know, the impetus that he must have from this early victory? It's great to win early in the season.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's his second one, Robert, because he won down at Leopard Creek, you know, which is actually the first tournament of the year. What does it mean for his impetus? I mean, he has gone fairly quiet. He's had a few problems with a bit of injuries. He's been ill. So what does it do for him? It just sets him up, gives you confidence, and you're off and ready and running. If he keeps playing like that, he'll win another two or three events this year.
Well, it was his 11th European Tour victory. Going well now, his fourth consecutive top nine finish on the European Tour. It's been a great start to the 2016 season, as you said. South Africans have won 5 of the 9 events so far. Schwartzel at the Alfred Dunhill Championship, the aforementioned in Mpumalanga, and the Shwani Open. Brandon Stone won the BMW South African Open, hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni. Hayden Porteous won the Joburg Open, and Brandon Grace the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. So they're on fire, the South Africans.
They are, yeah, and I particularly enjoyed, Brandon Grace is a top-quality player now anyway, but I particularly enjoyed Hayden Porteous and Brandon Stone. I was down in South Africa watching those, and it was nice to see, you know, like a young lad like Brandon Stone, who was actually well ahead, you know, at one point. I think he was 5 ahead and then went 2 behind. Then got it
then came
all the way
back.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Did you see Hayden Porteous, the man you were talking about, Richard, take his shirt off and roll his trousers up to his knees to hit a shot from the edge of a water hazard?
I didn't know. What round was that?
From memory, I think it was the second round.
Good recovery.
He got it out. He didn't get it close to the flag, but he actually got it out the hazard.
I may have seen the end of that. He walked on and tapped a putting, didn't he, with his trousers rolled up to his
knees? That was the second one.
That was the second one.
Yeah, because the second one, I think, went very close, and then he tapped it in barefooted.
Yes, that's what I saw.
Now,
yeah.
Two things here, yes, that struck me. Very rarely you see a golfer get his shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
Last one I can think of was Lara Tharble, who tried to escape Hornets, I think, in Malaysia.
Dived into
a water hazard. And the second thing is that Hayden Porteous is not only a very good player, you don't often see people tap in barefooted.
No. That was the bit I did see. I saw that the shirt was back on at that point, but I looked at the feet. No, it's a rarity, isn't it?
It's all good for the game, isn't it?
And we've seen a few good walls. I mean, the only last person I saw roll his trouser legs up like that was Jean Vandeveld.
That's right.
1999.
To hit the water hazard shot that he never hit.
Correct.
Yeah.
He did tell me.
He was certainly up to his knees in it, playing that last hole, wasn't he?
He was. But here's something you didn't know. I asked Jean Vandeveld about that. So he said, when I went into the hazard, he said, I could see 2/3 of the ball. He said, but the tide was coming in. He said, and the more I hung around, the more I looked at it, he said, by the time I went to hit it, he said, I could only see half of the ball.
I'm not sure where that ball was in the steep, you know, flat vertical side of that wall, if he could get it out, dry.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was very close, wasn't it?
I'm not sure he could have got that out, but
anyway,
it all ended well with a 7, didn't it?
Ended well with a 7 and lost in the playoff.
But,
yes,
you know,
but there you go.
A door closes, another one opens. Paul Laurie makes up 10 shots in the final round and wins the Open Championship.
Yeah. Who would have thought that?
Well, let's hear from those who tried to catch Charles as he ripped up the leaderboard. Denmark's Jeff Winter finished second on 8-under, and despite being one of many caught up in Schwartzel's wake, he was very pleased with the result.
I played so solid today, man. I loved it all day. It was fantastic. I'm so happy.
What was different about today than the rest of the week? Because you really came through the field fantastically well.
Yeah, I really haven't been able to figure out the front nine. Apparently, I figured it out quite well today. I was really hitting it close. I hit the flag on 4, which is a really tough hole. Made birdie. Hit it to like 2 feet on 5 and tap in on 6. So I was just hitting the wave. It was phenomenal.
Getting a tournament like this under your belt, a result like this under your belt early on in the year must be good for the confidence going forward.
Definitely. I got into the tournament just thinking I need some tournament golf. I had a couple of terrible weeks the last couple of weeks. Got stomach ache in Qatar and didn't play in Abu Dhabi or Dubai. So I'm just really happy that I found some game. It's phenomenal.
Well played, Jeff Winter. A name we're going to have to watch this year, Richard.
I think probably, yeah. So I was just having a look down at the prize money. It's, you know, it's not. It's all very nice, isn't it? €118,000, or which is official prize money, which is actually points now they use on the race to Dubai. But it's good money as well, Robert, don't you think?
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I mean,
You wouldn't mind just the 18,000, let alone the 118.
Yeah, well, when you first come onto tour, you've got to play wherever you can get a yeah. start, and you earn the right to pick and choose by your higher ranking in the race to Dubai. That's the way it should be. It's a tour for excellence. So the better you get, the more choices you have, the more easy you can make your life. But at the very start, at the ground basement level, you've got to play wherever you get a start, and you've got to credit all the people that have good tournaments on courses they don't know very well, yeah, and what have you. Well, all of a sudden, Jeff Winter's played really well, and that's a lot of dough.
Well, it is, but you know, but for the likes of Hayden Portier and Brandon Stone, I mean, it's just great. You can just, you know, after having a win, you're exempt.
Winner's category.
You can plan.
That's right.
I mean, it's just magnificent.
Yeah, winning is everything, and so it should be. Now, back in third was South Africa's Anthony Michael, and he was another who felt happy with how things had gone at Waterkloof.
Yeah, really impressed. If you'd told me I'd be in the position I'm in right now at the beginning of the week, I would have taken it.
How tough was it under the pressure out there today?
It is a real grind out there. It's really, really mentally draining. Just stick to what you've been doing in the week and plug away.
It's been a while since you've been up there in one of these big co-sanctioned European Tour events. How happy are you to be back up there?
Really good. Been feeling it for a while, but it's great to actually do it, get the job done.
Well, it was a great week for Anthony, Richard, and obviously, you know, compared to some of the tournaments in South Africa, the co-sanctioned ones are big events, so the pressure is on to play well, and he certainly did.
Oh, it's massive, actually. I mean, if you think about it, Rob, he shot 64 in the first round, which is 6-under, and sort of battled on. I think if you just said to him, 6-under, we'll finish third on your own, I don't think they would have believed you.
No, I think that probably wouldn't have been a bet you'd have taken out.
No, I don't think so. No.
Top 10, please, Richard.
Top 10, Robert. OK, there was a tie for 10th. Three players, and that was Hayden Porteous, Brandon Stone and Jaco van Sao. Then it went Brett Rumford, Jamie McCleary, Xander Lombard were tied 7th, and then 4th, 5th and 6th were Dean Burmester, Richard Sterney and Justin Waters, who should have really finished just one better. 3rd on his own was Anthony Michael, and then you had 2nd was Jeff Winter, and the winner Charles Schwartzel by 8 at 16-under.
A good old-fashioned thrashing from Schwartzel, certainly was. Now, last week, John Hawksworth, tips-wise, was in very confident mood when he picked Xander Lombard. Not a bad effort. He finished 7th, and I countered him with George Kurtzier, who I thought might successfully defend the title he won last year. In the end, he finished 14th. Wasn't a bad defence, but 1 to Hawksworth, which is never an easy thing for me to get out.
No.
Not a bad effort all round. Don't forget, look out for the new improved Fancy Race to Dubai game, which will be live for my European Tour users from March on europeantour.com. Now, in other news, the European Tour's pledge to speed up the game has got off to a positive start during the recent Desert Swing, with a reduction in round times being apparent under the new pace of play policy. Referees were given additional scope to combat the issue of slow play with a new monitoring penalty. At the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship, the new policy helped reduce the average round time by 5 minutes for rounds 1 and 2 compared to the same tournament in 2015. A similar effect was observed at the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, where 2016 figures for average times for rounds 1 and 2 were 10 and 4 minutes quicker, respectively, when compared with the event in 2012, the last time the opening two rounds were played in comparably windy conditions. Finally, the Amiga Dubai Desert Classic, there was a reduction of 2 minutes on average round times compared to 2015. That's in the second round. Early days, Richard, but things going in the right direction.
Well, they are. I mean, you're not going to quicken it up by 20 minutes, are you? I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, as long as you saw some reduction, you know, in time, was great, because by goodness, Robert, it needed it.
It will make a difference when players do get the idea that yeah. they're just beat you, but you're being watched. You know, get on with it.
Yeah, no, they do. But let me tell you, Robert, having done a lot of, you know, for 15 years on-course commentary, as the years have moved on, you know, when you're actually playing yourself, you don't think it's that slow. But when you watch, when you haven't got to hit a ball and you're standing down there, you know, 80 yards off the tee and watching, you just go, just hit it.
Oh, it just sometimes TV doesn't actually do the quick players any service, because quite often the director comes to the slow player just before he hits it. You don't see the live preamble and the amount of time it takes unless you're...
If you're third to hit,
you're
Robert,
live with the group the whole time. Yeah, unless you're like you don't see how long it takes.
But if you're third to hit in the group, Robert, if you're third to hit over the first 2 days in three balls, you should be when it's your third man, you could literally just step in and hit it.
All the conversation should be over by then. Now, Richard, other news continued. Looking ahead to later in the year, Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson will renew rivalries at the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open at Castle Stewart Golf Links, a beautiful place just outside Inverness. Really stunning up there, it really is. Where the popular American took the title in 2013 before lifting the claret jug in amazing style the following week at the Open Championship, or the Open. Pardon me, Mr. RNA Secretary. Five-time major champion Mickelson, the world number five Stenson, and former winner Graham McDowell are among the star names so far confirmed for the 34th edition of Scotland's National Open, which returns to the stunning Inverness venue from July the 7th to the 10th, 2016. Now, on the PGA Tour, Phil Mickelson, the aforementioned, had a near miss at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He's already won that tournament four times and maybe he should have won it five times. In the end, he goes round in 72 in the final round. Level par wasn't quite good enough because Vaughan Taylor, out of nowhere, the world number 447, played the back nine in nothing. He shot 65 and it's his first PGA Tour title in 11 years, Richard.
And, Robert, I might say, didn't get into the tournament until the Monday. He was the first reserve.
It's just an amazing story, it really is. He wins it on Valentine's Day, his wife and his
Robert,
kids there.
How romantic.
It was tremendous. Mickelson was leading, of course, going into the final round. Missed a five-foot birdie putt at the 18th, the force of playoff. And Vaughan Taylor wins the day and gets back on tour, gets all the exemptions, gets $1.2 million, gets into the Masters.
What a difference it makes to his life. But you know, and I know, Robert, if you and I were standing behind the back of that 18th green with Phil Mickelson with a five-footer to tie the tournament, it would have gone in.
I wouldn't have watched the putt. I'd already be in the buggy on the way down to the 18th tee.
You'd be warming up on the tee.
Shouting, where's Phil? Where's Phil? He'll be here shortly. Oh, don't tell me he's missed. Oh, no.
Doesn't happen in real life, Robert,
No, it doesn't happen in real life, but I guess it was written in stars for Vaughan Taylor. I don't know if you saw the shot that he hit at the 15th. Second shot from the left-hand rough. Came out a little bit hot, and it kissed the ball that was next to the hole.
Yes.
And it stopped it absolutely stone dead, and it was going to run through the back of the green or beyond.
Yeah.
And it stopped stone dead, and he nudged in another birdie. So, yeah, an amazing run of form for him on the back nine. He did play superbly well, and you need that little bit of luck, which he got on 15. Well played, Vaughan Taylor. An amazing total of 17 under par left him in a state of shock, somewhat unable to comprehend what actually had just happened.
Just absolutely amazing. I can't believe I'm actually sitting here right now. Didn't know if it would ever happen again, to be honest. Just lost a lot of confidence, lost, you know, a good bit of my game, and, you know, I just kept working, kept grinding, and kept at it, and, you know, I can't believe it happened today.
You can hear he's in shock there, Richard. It's an amazing turnaround for him. But he won tournaments before on the PGA Tour. He played Ryder Cup and then sort of falls away. And to get your game back and go bang like that when you've really got no ranking he got in very late as past champions category. That's how he got in.
Yeah, but it got in as first reserve.
But you know, he nearly died in a boating accident on the Savannah River.
And he
was rescued clinging to like a toolbox, a floating toolbox.
Really?
Yeah, clinging to that and otherwise he'd have died, he'd have drowned. So he's had quite a time. Maybe everything's going to be good for the Taylors now.
But you wouldn't
Young family.
Well, plus, Robert, you wouldn't. It would be quite a sort of sporting quiz question, wouldn't it? Vaughan Taylor, Ryder Cup, did he play in it? I mean, lots of people would never remember that.
Well, I knew that.
You did. You know
You'd
the
forgotten,
answer.
Hadn't you?
I had forgotten, yeah.
I suddenly thought,
I remember that.
Yeah, he played.
Yeah.
You would have thought once you make a Ryder Cup side, your game is such a high standard, it will continue for a while. It didn't really...
No, it didn't really for him, but you know what it's like. We've seen it happen a fair few times with other European players. They, you know, come and go, and you think, well, whatever happened to him? And then
almost like what Ollie Wilson did at the Dunhill Links Championship last time, not last year, but the year before.
Yeah,
and incredible stuff, and great to see. I mean, people always like stories like that. It's great to see the great players, you know, the Fowlers, the Days, the McIlroys, the Spieths play well, but to have a guy come out of nowhere and produce something like that, when six of the top 10 players, Richard, in the world were playing in that tournament, I think was remarkable. And some Europeans were amongst the top finishers in America. Sweden's Jonas Blix was third. Freddie Jakobsen from Sweden was fourth, tied with Hiroshi Iwata. Patrick Reed, member of the European Tour, and Justin Rose tied for sixth. So a couple of top 10s to get through, Richard. The race to Dubai first.
Okay, 10th is Nathan Holman. Thomas Peters is 9th. Andy Sullivan, 8th. 7th is Ben Ann. Chris Wood is 6th. Rafa Cabrera Bayo had a good desert swing. He's in 5th. 4th is Charles Schwartzel now. Danny Willett, 3rd. 2nd is Brandon Grace. And leading the way is Henrik Stenson at number 1.
And a couple of those feature in the top 10 in the world rankings, Richard.
Yes, they are. 10th is Brandon Grace. Patrick Reed is 9th. 8th is Dustin Johnson. Justin Rose is 7th. Bubba Watson is 6th. 5th is Henrik Stenson. Ricky Fowler's 4th. 3rd is Rory McIlroy. 2nd is Jason Day. And Jordan Spieth is number 1 still.
OK, this week on the European Tour, we're off to Malaysia. The Maybank Championship Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur. Or Kuala Lumpur, if you're American.
Or KL. That's
KL's very good. Great course, but it will be hot and sticky, Richard. Hot and sticky.
It will be. You've got to be pretty fit to get around there. Lots of water needed to be taken on board. It was the kind of conditions, you know, I went and played in these events, but I didn't really enjoy them.
Did you leave Blighty on a plane thinking, I'm going to go here because I sort of have to, but yeah. I don't fancy my chances?
Correct.
That's what it was like, was
that's
it?
That's exactly like that.
And that's how it worked out.
And that is exactly it. Normally,
isn't that incredible?
Normally an MC every time
you
I
prepare
went there.
For what you're going to accept yeah. and experience.
Be careful
and
what you
and
wish
you
for.
Did. My goodness, you were good at it. What about the field? Because Aniban Lahiri is going to be defending.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you who's playing, who's won out here before, or who's actually won this tournament, is Matteo Manassero, who's picked up a little bit of form, started making a cut or two, which is good news for him. Alvaro Quiroz, back from injury, he's there. Louis Oosthuizen, he'll be in the top 10, I would imagine. Martin Kaymer, Ryder Cup captain Darren Clark is playing. Danny Willett's playing. Lara Tharbel will be there. And if I turn my page and look at some other names, you've got the likes of Eddie Pepperell, Raphael Jacquelin, Maximilian Kiefer, Tommy Fleetwood, Lucas Bjerregaard and Tyrrell Hatton. I think a win is not too far away, although for a tip this week, Robert,
yeah,
I am going to go for Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Are you?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think he's got more wins, plenty more wins up his sleeve. He's young, so, you know, I don't think the weather will affect him anywhere near as much as an older player.
All right.
It's not a massively long course, but you've just got to be decent course management, and I think he's got that.
I'm going to back Alvaro Quiroz.
That's good. And do you know, I'm not going to ask you why.
There's been a little bit of comeback.
Go on a lot.
No, he's come back a little bit. A little bit of form in Dubai.
Yeah, he did play well.
Much better finish for him. And he's far too good a player to be languishing where he is. So just worth reiterating the tips. You're going for Matthew Fitzpatrick. I'm going for Alvaro Quiroz. We shall see in 7 days how that all works out. That's it for now. Please join us next week as we review the Maybank Championship Malaysia and look ahead to the ISPS Handa Perth International. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from Richard Boxall.
Bye.
And myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye.